It's that late night wet wipe stuff, man.
Wet wipe.
Dads.
Late night.
Comedians.
Wet wipe.
Get me?
Three dads, and they're all quite funny. Only started this podcast to make some money. Spotify deals and comedy tours on the agenda. Let me introduce all members. KJ, yeah, he put this thing together. Might be the reason that it falls apart. Came from the hip, but he talks from the heart. Ride or die for the team, you know it's Kazee. Darren Griffiths, getting told off by the missus. Been a dad longer than the other two. An integral member of the crew. Where he's from, they like to say, oi, oi. Darren Griffiths, aka the Essex boy. The doctor, always thinking about a sponsor. Keeps the pod on track, loves prayer,
just
that's a
fact.
Got a BBL just for the brothers that are black. It's Mike.
And this is Late Nights and Wet Wipes.
Still can't find my socks.
Oh,
is that still
the oh that's too funny.
That is too funny.
But so again, you said you'll say if you don't want to answer questions. So what age was your son when you split?
How old was my son? What year is it?
24. 18.
So you do the math.
So
6 years ago,
accounting,
12.
Accounting. 12. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, fair amount of time with you two.
Oh, we parent very well. When I travel, he stays in my house. We co-parent very, very well.
No. What would you say is the key sort of co-parenting tip or tips, if there are tips for doing that? Because some people find that difficult to navigate. So what would you sort of say?
Never have a child with a man you are scared of.
Noted.
Hey.
Never know.
Okay, and then...
Because at the end of the day, it's what's best for the child.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's what's best for the child. So your differences should never be become the child's problem.
Absolutely.
And I don't know, maybe I've just been lucky, but we didn't have a toxic break.
Yeah.
Breakup.
Right.
Because you end things when they're supposed to end. I think sometimes people hold on to relationships for too long.
It's that belief in love, isn't it?
When they end, they've become enemies.
Mm.
There's just so much that's gone on. There's
and
so much hatred and hurts that's gone on. For me, it was easy. It was a very easy breakup because he asked me, what do you want for your birthday? I said, a divorce. And...
Hey, birthday divorce, birthday divorce. Lean.
You made me sick.
I love that. I love that. Imagine coming home just rose petals that leads to the bed. There's the divorce papers there with the pen and everything like that.
You know what I did on Sunday? Well, one of the stories that I did for the thing on Sunday was
what? When you say the BBC?
Yeah, man.
No! Don't just skid past that. Obviously, you're a TV comic. You know, Sunday. This is Sunday Morning Live on the BBC One, right? Live. Mm-hmm. Live on BBC. BBC
nice.
One live. Come on.
Anyway, okay.
What you must be credited as a recurring guest.
Yeah, you're a series regular now.
That's what they say.
Come on. Yeah. Hey, speak on it, man.
No. There is a new thing where newlyweds are requesting as a gift contributions to a divorce fund. Should it go that way? That's brazen, it. That's crazy.
Well, what happens if they don't get divorced?
So that was the angles I came with. Was like, if they should you look at this more like an investment in a company?
Whoa. Yeah.
And then these are now your board of directors, and if you don't every year you don't get divorced,
you get dividends,
right?
That's good. Then I would invest.
Like marriage dividends.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like everyone's betting on the marriage to succeed.
I like that.
Me and my wife, Chorty, I made a lease. We said that at 5 years, we'll have a review and have a no-fault divorce.
And how long?
This September will be, this October will be 5 years. So we'll see how I'm going there thinking, yeah, we're all right. She's like, no.
But it would have to be, I don't know, let me think of a couple I know that I would trust like that. Not very many.
You think they'll spend the money?
I have a friend who
I said to put it into an ISA. So you can't touch it.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend who got divorced before I washed the dress I wore at her wedding.
You washed it?
Before I washed the dress. That's how quick they got divorced. My nails lasted longer than the marriage.
That means one of two things. They got divorced really quickly or you take forever to wash your clothes.
11 days.
11 days. How do you not...
No, that means... Yeah,
that honeymoon must have been terrible.
No, that means they
Someone got rumbled for cheating.
They got married. They must have known. Well, one of them knew they shouldn't have got married. I just thought it's too embarrassing to
and
call
you know
it
what
off.
Happened? With everyone they is. Wanted to... annul it and then they didn't qualify because they knew what they were getting into. Nobody lied to the other.
So
they had to wait a year and a day before they could officially divorce. But they separated, one moved out and...
What? You had to wait a day?
A year and a day,
yeah. Because annulments, so it's like...
Annulments, you can do it within a year.
It didn't happen, annulment.
So annulment is, you can be stuff like you find that you're related...
Or they lied.
You find someone's lied. Mm. That kind of thing.
Maybe like they already married or they are not the sex they said they were.
Yeah. So if anything major, we go, I went into this marriage thinking it was this.
Yeah, false pretenses.
Yeah.
But divorce, because I remember Kim Kardashian was married for 72 days. Obviously, I know America's different from the UK and different from SA, but you have to be married for legally a year minimum.
Yeah, in a day,
In the UK?
Yep. Before you can file for divorce. But you can
is that basically time to reconcile?
Doing market research. So it's a year and a day.
A year and a day.
And it has to be that, yeah? Okay.
So it's always like, is that...
Just
like,
asking for a friend.
You just like... So that, is that just so you can say you try to reconcile? I'm just trying to figure out why they said...
Because they don't want to encourage divorce and they know that people do have differences and fights. They want to give you time to work it out.
It's time to learn doggy style, man.
Oh my god! You know what I was gonna do? I was gonna try round up and do a new episode, but I think we should just roll through and do part two.
I think this is what we're doing now.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I think it's what we're doing.
The facade is gone. But I'm now interested in a bit more talking about your comedy career since reestablished post COVID in the sort of UK. So that would... When did you return post-COVID? Was that 2021?
2020. Yes.
And then was that when you're like, okay, now you've had the success in South Africa with the sitcom, with the YouTube. And then what made you say, you know what? Even though I've had all that success back in South Africa, let me... No, obviously I know the NHS is the COVID, but what was it that said, I want to actually reignite my career on these shorts?
It's being a parent. I thought it would be unfair on my son to now... take him back again. He needed to have a base.
For school.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm just going to stay here and make a career here.
Have you found opportunities easier or harder to come by considering the success you had back home? Because sometimes you can have success. I find with comedy, people have success in their respective home country, but sometimes when they come to the UK, unless... it's certain probably high profile American comics, everyone else kind of gets pushed back and they have to
basically
like,
I was
again.
Shit gigs telling you need to do like a 5 minute trial spot
in butt fuck nowhere
in
buck fucking them shit or something like that.
I've heard that, but I've taken it as good experience because I've found here, we don't have a lot of clubs in South Africa. We had two that I really liked, Cape Town Comedy Club and Parker's Comedy Club in Joburg.
Yeah.
But they both closed down during COVID.
Oh,
so we don't have purpose-built clubs. I feel like here you can go to the gym every day.
Mm.
So you become a better comic.
Absolutely.
And also at home, I was at a point where I was really just performing for a lot of people who already knew me.
Right, yeah.
Mm.
So...
I know that's
you don't get to work on your material.
Yeah, because they're already fans of you.
They're already your fans. What you say today, tomorrow you must think of something else. Yeah.
Okay.
So you don't get to cook your jokes.
Yeah,
Whereas it's so nice that I get to perform to people. And it really tests you as a comic. Because when it's your fans, they give you a standing ovation the minute your name is mentioned.
Yeah.
Mm.
But when you go to people who don't know what to expect and you still manage to make them laugh,
they just sit
then
there like,
you know,
this make me laugh. Go on then.
Yeah.
But that's it's that conversion that you're talking about, isn't it? Like, they don't know who you are, but then by the end of your set, you've made a new fan.
Yes.
In that 15 minutes or in that 20 minutes, you've
and you know they genuinely enjoyed your comedy rather than excited to see you in person. And
so you probably prefer your profile in the UK compared to South Africa.
Yes,
then.
I like being a comedian more than being a celebrity. I know it goes hand in hand and you make more money the more famous you are.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like for comics, once you become too famous, it kind of kills your comedy a bit.
Yeah, it kills your craft a bit. Yeah,
it does kill your craft. So I enjoy that I get to travel a lot. I've seen so many places that I didn't even know existed in the UK.
Where's been your favorite place in the UK that you've visited?
Sandwich.
Oh, that's in Kent, isn't it? what stood out about Sandwich for you?
Because I didn't the name, just the name.
did you do the duty and actually have a sandwich in Sandwich?
No, I was like, I can't eat Sandwich. Sandwich is a place from now on. I'm no longer gonna eat a sandwich.
Pay respects.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's different, but it's nice. And also there's a peace of mind. And I enjoy also being a woman, being able to travel by myself at night with my phone, not being scared of being hijacked, not being scared of my phone being taken from
me. So you feel safer in the UK than...
See, that's interesting for perspective, because I do think of South Africa as like just dangerous. Yeah, so...
It's not dangerous everywhere, but it's
no.
It's more dangerous.
But at its most dangerous, it's more dangerous than
yeah. And so just that peace of mind. Sometimes I get a train at 2 a.m. by myself. For me, that's something like that's a freedom I wish I could have at home.
That is such an interesting.
And it's also taught me to be. It's brought me back to being independent, because at home I had a team. So I was at a stage where I wasn't doing everything myself.
Mm-hmm.
All I had to do was just be creative.
Yeah.
Whereas here, I remember when I wanted to get a maid and when they told me how much they charge, I remembered why God gave me hands, because they wanted me to pay them more than I get paid.
Yeah. Sometimes you need that reality check that, oh, okay. Mm. Yeah, I could do some of that.
Yeah,
I don't need to outsource that. That's do at home DIY.
Yeah, so I and there are just more opportunities here to grow as a comedian.
Yeah,
not necessarily to be TV famous. I think there are less TV opportunities, especially for people like me.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got that at home.
Yeah,
and I've got my social media, which I love, because there's no control. You do what you want.
Are you still able to maintain that even though you're here? Obviously, you're able to post, of course, but in terms of, because you said you had a whole team back home, are you able to do much content-wise?
I don't do as much as I did back home, but that's because I'm lazy, not because of lack of teamwork. You could put together a team here.
Yeah.
And also, technology has made things so much easier. Like, You can be your own production company by yourself. I've got so much work that I've shot on my own.
Yeah.
And I've got a lot of work that I've got. They just need editing or posting.
Yeah.
So it's, if anything, it's me being lazy.
Mm. That's so interesting. What is very, that is the sort of safety aspect. Just because speaking to... A lot of when you speak to female comics, is that's something that's very poignant in their mind. Mm. The fact that, you know, gigs late at night, walking, commuting, the dangers of being a lone woman walking at night, and the stuff that associated it. But obviously, you're coming from the perspective where you've come from somewhere which you felt was more unsafe. You almost see this as safe.
Yes,
it's just an interesting to note. You know, do you speak to other female comics?
Yes.
And do they, I guess they don't have the perspective you have, but do they agree with you that it's safe, or do they tend to...
I don't know. We've never discussed it.
Yeah.
Which means it's safe, because if it wasn't...
It'll be prominent on their mind.
It'll be something we'd talk about.
Absolutely.
Donbrook a female comedian for this gig, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Where and what's been your most favorite since you've been? What's your favorite gig that you've done? What's the gig that sort of stands out for you on the UK circuit that you've done?
Ooh, you know, I don't have one that I can say is the best.
Or not necessarily that's the best, just one that just stands out that you remember for any particular reason.
The one I really love the most are the ones with the Africans and the Caribbean audiences.
Okay.
Because I just feel like our people laugh differently. When they laugh, they laugh.
Mm.
They like hit your neighbor, pick up your chair.
They break on the neighbor's head.
They laugh. And so, and also they don't laugh at just anything. They don't laugh to make you happy.
They laugh
because you're funny.
Absolutely. Do you do many of them? Do you, because obviously they're different promoters. And I do sometimes see that, like there's UK-based black comedy promoter, but I feel sometimes there's probably promoters that are based abroad who come and do shows here, if that sort of makes sense. So have you done many of the UK-based black comedy promoters?
Yeah,
or
I do everything.
Yeah.
I do everything. I do not discriminate when it comes to where I get my money from. Yeah, I do perform with the Nigerian promoters who bring Nigerian comedy here. I love those.
Yeah.
The only problem is they never start on time.
I'll have to eat that and one today.
Yeah, also, sometimes they have, you know them, sometimes they just have too long of a lineup.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they try to bring everyone in.
And sometimes it's a comedian, a big musician. So, but they're good in their own way.
Yeah,
but they're different from what we are used to.
Absolutely.
And I like Carry On Comedy. Have you done it?
That sounded familiar.
Yeah. I love that. I've done a few of their gigs. I've done their gigs in Ibiza. And,
oh, brilliant!
I'm just a member of the Facebook group. I keep on getting
nice. So you've been flued out.
Yes.
Woo.
I love those, and I love them because you should if you haven't done them.
I got offered the gig once when I was in Barcelona. I was offered it. Let's say the gig was Saturday. I was offered it on Thursday. Hey, though, are you free this weekend? What, where? Barcelona. I was like, no, I'm not free.
It was like, but offered it, you know.
Yeah,
it's one of those alphas. No,
and it's a real, there's one they call a holiday of a lifetime. And you go there, you out for 7 days, everything paid for, you perform once because they have different comedians each night.
Oh, wow.
So it's not like you are there the whole time and you're performing every night, you just perform once. And you just enjoy the rest of it as a holiday. Ooh. So I always look forward to that. I like that one.
Very nice.
And the audience, they've paid money to go on a holiday of a lifetime.
Yeah.
They've gone to laugh. Like they've saved up. Because I like audiences that have come to see comedy.
Yeah.
That's why like corporate gigs are not always the best. Because...
Mm-hmm.
The worst one, you didn't ask me, but I will answer.
I wanted to start positive, but you've already gone there, so please.
A corporate gig, just before I went on stage.
You don't have to say the name of the company, but what field
are they in? IT.
IT, okay.
They told, and it's a very big brand.
Yeah.
They told the employees that they were being retrenched, and now you have comedy.
Oh, wow. So they
didn't say who exactly. They just said 60%. They were letting go of 60%. So everyone sitting there doesn't know whether they're part of the 60% or not.
Woo!
You have to go out there and be like, boy, some of you are gonna enjoy this show.
40% will enjoy it.
You know, I got them like you know like come on, you know if you're going in it.
I
know what kind of effort you put in.
Because I'd be exactly the same. Because awkwardness be too much in the room.
You have to address it.
I'd be like, hey, listen, you can always try this. You know what I mean? Come try some jokes.
Man.
Get on that open mic circuit.
How long was you scheduled to do at?
Half an hour.
So.
After they've announced
it was like 7 hours on that stage.
I can imagine. Did you go? How did you address it? Did you go straight for jokes? Did you address the awkwardness?
I did. I had to address that awkwardness. It was one of those situations where you can't ignore it.
So I want to come out laughing.
That is so funny. That is so funny.
It's always like corporate gigs. The booker is always more stiff than the actual corporate
audience. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so, another one. Yeah. Sorry.
So I was gonna say, yeah. So the people that book you for, so not even the person at the company, it's like your agent or
yeah,
the intermediary. So, oh, don't say this, don't touch that, and just like you get into the room, like, how can I not mention that topic?
Absolutely,
that's all they've spoken about since I've been there. It's like, fuck it, I'm just doing it.
Yeah, and then you
come off to like, oh yeah, the client said they really liked you. It's like, yeah, because I just didn't listen to any of your advice. That's why they liked me.
It's funny because they would. That's very cool because sometimes they may see you in a comedy club setting, like you in a comedy club setting. They want to transplant you to another setting where they want you to take away the things that made it fun the first time. So it's always
like job security.
Absolutely.
First time they saw you, they had jobs.
That's true.
Yeah, first time they saw you, 60% of them didn't.
Oh, come on, that's
most
terrible.
People in the room. Not even. Yeah. 20%. Where you can't like, even. Probably not me. 6% is like that could easily be me.
I'd be slacking.
Oh, if that was my job, yeah, and it was like 60% of you are going, I'd be like, yeah, it's me.
I'm
pessimistic. Level of effort I'm putting in at present, I'd be like, it's me.
And if it wasn't me, at the beginning of the night, it will end up being me because the way I'd get drunk.
Oh yeah.
That you just getting turned.
Yeah, because I'm like,
and
it's
if you
me.
Still
fuck
have
it,
a
I'm
job,
going. Yeah,
you men suck. You went at the top, suck.
And I did also one for a construction company, corporate gig, paid very well. Mm. One of the most awkward as well. Only one person was laughing.
Woo!
So the person booked
throughout
you.
The whole thing. Mm. Only to find out that he's the only person who spoke English. The rest of the people did not.
You got booked to do a gig where only that is it's a free swing. That's a free swing.
It's construction. What do you expect?
Stop it.
Darren's naughty, man. Darren, but that's a free swing. I wouldn't even. Do you know what? The thing is, you're telling yourself you're bombing, but you can't bomb if they don't understand you.
No, you're
and
bombing.
And it's the most awkward bombing because there's one person who's really enjoying it.
Yeah, that's the thing. But that's the thing. You can't tell yourself you bombed. You can't.
Then you realize, I was only performing for one person.
That's a terrible booking. That's a terrible. Whoever booked that, shocking at your job. Obviously, you took the money and run. But that's terrible. And what do you want for your? What's the future for you now in terms of your comedy career in the UK? What do you see as where you want to take things? What would be an ideal sort of medium for you?
I don't know. I think I enjoy being a traveling comedian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I'll get to a point where I'm like, I'm tired of traveling.
I
need stability.
Absolutely.
But at the moment, I'm enjoying traveling. I'm enjoying opportunities to travel, not just in England, also around the world.
Yeah.
I want to work on being more consistent on my YouTube because I think sometimes we sleep on that.
Mm-hmm.
And
because us three, or I'll talk for me mainly, aren't so proficient on YouTube. What's something?
I'm not at all.
Neither y'all are proficient.
Be quite consistent with the YouTube shorts.
Yeah.
Because they were booming at one point.
They still are.
Yeah. If you post consistently. But what tips could you give us? Like how? Because I think as you've rightly mastered quite early on is that. Yeah, as well as being a stand-up, you have to have this content creation, especially nowadays, as you've alluded to earlier, TV opportunities are quite scarce, unless you're Kazim. So
and also TV is too controlling.
Absolutely.
They want to tell you what to do, how to look, what to...
Yeah, you lose that autonomy, which you completely have when you're creating your own content. So what advice, is it just the consistency? What advice would you give for people who are trying to build their YouTube, are thinking, look, I'm doing all right with stand-up, but I want to build... a profile for myself.
Treat your subscribers or your audience, because not all your audience is subscribed. Mm-hmm. If you look at your analytics, maybe 80% of the people who watch are not subscribed. Treat them as real people
mm-hmm.
that you are in a relationship with. If it's an abusive relationship where you say, I'm going to post every Thursday, and then you post 2 weeks later on a Tuesday. they're not going to trust you because they have so much more. There are so many options.
Absolutely.
So don't overpromise and underdeliver.
Yeah.
It's better to say once a week and post once a week.
Yeah.
And you can schedule. You can just dedicate one Sunday where you edit and post your things.
Yeah.
And also with YouTube, it gives you more exposure because someone in India could see you and invite you.
Yeah. And you don't need an account, do you, for YouTube as well? You
can and respond to your comments.
Yeah. Engage your people.
If I was just sitting here and you guys were just sitting and I'm just like this, just listening, it would be a different vibe.
Absolutely.
That's the same thing on YouTube. And find your voice. Decide what you want to do. Do you want to be a stand-up comic on YouTube or do you want to do something different? Because sometimes we tend to do too many things and people don't really understand who we are and what we do. Do one thing, do it well, then introduce other things.
And what's your voice on YouTube then? How did you get to that decision and what voice have you chosen for yourself on YouTube?
For me, I've chosen comedy.
Okay.
That's the first thing. And my main channel is in Zulu, in my home language.
Yeah.
So even though I would do a vlog here and there, but it has to be funny.
Got you.
Even if you see me attending a funeral, you must find something funny. Because that's what I've promised. I've said this is a comedy channel. So
are you live streaming from the funeral? How are you doing it? When you
well,
so this is the casket.
No, because I do have another job as a funeral crier. Please get your phone and Google it. Because after this, you guys might join me. It's in London. There's an agency. You register with them.
So how much do you get paid per funeral?
It's £40 an hour.
And then your role is to...
To cry.
On demand.
Yes, because it's different reasons. Sometimes you cry on behalf of the women who've had too much Botox. They can't like show their emotions.
Professional mourners, also called moirologists.
Yeah, I'm a moirologist,
are act as hired by family members to grieve at funerals or wakes. The intention is to increase the number of funeral participants, provide new faces, show support for the deceased, and help people deal with tragedy through others' expression of grief.
And
they
like a black face as well, especially if it's someone who was a politician, so that they seem to have had black friends. You get more.
So you're the token black friend in death. So when the booking comes through, do they give you like a briefing? Or
you get a briefing, yeah.
So it will be like, okay. So
and also you're told, because there are different packages.
Mm.
So depending on how much they paid, what package they chose, it's how much you cry.
And is there like the throw yourself on the coffin and scream, no, like that's the higher paid.
Yeah.
But
that's diamond.
And then you can have like, so I guess like,
I did get, I would my start first laughing. Agent did like, fire me
if I was because doing I that overcried. Job.
You went too far. People suspected you were having an affair with the person died.
You man paid me to do
something. So imagine it must be, so it's like the lowest package that's like a respectable, just a,
the lowest part,
just be a black
it's
face.
To just show
at
up.
The front.
It's just to show up.
I just had a brilliant idea.
Yeah, just show up and shake your head once in a while.
We should have a company where we have people sign up similar to this, but they go to bad comedian shows and laugh.
But the thing is, you have to pay them.
Yeah, the bad comedians have to pay you. They have to know their shit. And comedians are the most delusional people on the planet.
That's true.
So
it's their job. It's very good. It's very good for comics because we're doing nothing during the day. So if you have a show,
it's not just one.
Yeah,
there's loads.
Yeah.
Well, I know what I'm doing on the 25th of July.
There's also Rent a Friend. Have you done Rent a Friend? That's why I love this country. There's so many opportunities.
What's this job then?
Rent a friend.
Rent, Jesus.
But obviously, because when you say rent a body, some people think of escorting. So this is not escorting.
No.
It's nothing funky.
No. It can be women. It can be like just to go maybe for coffee. Escorted. Sometimes they just call you to have some, because people are lonely.
Absolutely.
Google it, rent a friend.
If someone booked me and rent a friend and they were like, I think about killing myself, I'd be like, do it.
Then you get no repeat business.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You just killed your best client.
I'll just be like, bro.
That's a different one. That's like the Samaritans.
No, they're trying to stop you from...
Yeah, rent a friend to go to an event or party with you, teach you new skill or hobby.
How much an hour?
People. So yeah, this is actually just rentafriend.com.
Look, man, if it's like $2 an hour, hey, I'm the bestie. Where are we going?
And they pay for the food.
Hey.
Rent a local.
Hey, I just go to rent the local friend.
Morley's.
Sometimes.
£30
like,
an
I've
hour.
I've done one where I went.
It's not bad.
Because this lady, she's got a lot of money, but she has no friends. So I would go every Saturday just to compliment everything she's bought for the week.
So you're like Troy Hawk, is
you're
almost.
Like, ooh, this is so beautiful! Wow, and that's all you
who's
do.
Troy Hawk,
the purple, you know, Troy Milo.
Oh yeah,
purple. That is so. So is that so? During the day, you're doing like these. You're crying. So what's your favorite sort of daytime job? Is it the professional crier?
I like rent a friend because I don't really like funerals here because they don't have good food like in Africa.
Nah, that's
but
facts.
The good thing is they give you a USP voucher because some funerals, you know, some funerals, they go to a pub and then everyone just pays for their own food. You get a voucher, so
white funerals are. I mean, I went to my first white funeral. It was. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It was dreadful.
What was happening?
It was just church service, then pub and a few sandwiches, and then people was like, right, it's time to go home now. And it was like 4 o'clock.
Rah.
I drove all the way to Northampton for an hour and a half.
I was like, what, you lot just done? They're like, yeah, he's buried now. What? Just like, what?
Fuck him.
I don't know what's happening.
Football's on, mate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, people took like just a bit of time out of work, come to the funeral,
and
went back to work. Funeral. Done.
Serious?
And I was like, what?
So there's no like reception
I shouldn't say white, I should say English, because I know the Irish funeral, like black people, it's
a vibe.
It's till like 2 a.m.
But that's why they have the service, because sometimes you go on behalf, you go and introduce yourself, I'm here on behalf of Kazim.
And then what capacity? Because you're there, let's say someone's booked you for the top package. You're crying, you're throwing yourself on the floor, you're wailing, you're not letting anyone speak because you're just so besotted and upset. People ask, who is she to the deceased? Do you get asked that or are you just there crying?
They're not like black people. It's just like, oh, he was such a good man. Like, and they don't care where you knew him from.
It was probably his secretary.
So how do you know the deceased? Loss. He taught me doggy style.
Just like, what a loss. They just make their own assumptions.
Yeah.
That is so... I didn't know that existed. I'm fascinated. I'm truly... That's so fascinating.
No, but let's answer the few questions.
There are so many.
Because I've been to a few funerals where I'm like, who's that? And no one's had an answer.
Yeah,
and that may be the answer. Yeah. They may be a
professional crier.
What other ones are there?
I just do the friendship. Crying and the friendship.
I'll do the friend one. I'm gonna sign up.
The funeral pays better.
I know, but I just can't cry like that. I'd laugh. I'd be like, ah.
But sometimes you just need numbers, isn't it?
But. Yeah,
I don't know this guy.
But imagine there probably be different requirements, like for men at funerals, because men generally cry less than women.
Yeah, statistically.
So I imagine just your role as a mourner is just being black face.
I'd still be laughing.
Present, yeah.
I'd still
paid,
be laughing.
A paid friend.
Like,
in
say
death.
Like this, yeah. Say like I don't know, like I've not read the brief properly.
And sometimes you know, some people don't have friends. They might ask you to read a poem because sometimes
I come and do stand up.
No one to bury them. Then they might just ask you to say a few words. They'll write the words for you.
Just so this, that is fascinating.
This is fascinating.
Well, you know what I do though?
Yeah.
I can't remember what I was going to say now.
What is striking to me is that instead of that person working and being a better person when they were alive, their family and their friends have to pay people to present them as a better person than they're.
It's not everyone has got friends because they're an arsehole.
That's what I was going to say.
Majority.
I would laugh if I didn't read the brief properly.
Yeah.
And I was stood there and I'm being employed and they were like, yeah, we're here to remember Ben Bendover. I'm in tears. I'm in tears. So I don't know what was his name. Okay.
And the friend one is really good around Christmas because people lie to their colleagues about having a girlfriend or having a best friend or being cool with their neighbors.
Maybe so Christmas time you're
brief
busy.
You, they'll brief you. So I've been talking about Sarah at work, blah, blah, blah. And you just show up as Sarah and...
That's it, you're Sarah, wow. Mate.
Let's do it.
I'm signing up to the friend one for sure.
Have you seen the what's the film on Amazon? It's sort of like John Cena, Zac Efron.
Oh no, I don't watch films in that trash.
No, but it's literally John Cena is a friend for hire in that he's hired to play. Yeah,
saw John Cena in Gatwick Airport.
Is it? How big is he?
Pretty big.
Yeah,
his cock is basically huge.
His three childhood friends. They always blamed shit that went wrong on this imaginary friend. So now they're adults and they've used him since they were 10. So it's like they lie to their wives, going, yeah, it's so and so's stag do, it's so and so's birthday. And it's like, oh, he's dying of cancer, so we've got to go and stuff. And then they almost get caught out. And then someone goes, I've never met this friend. Like, where is he?
Yeah.
And then John Cena plays the friend.
That's so. Are you allowed to talk about.
Without naming them, the clients that book you?
No. You can only talk about them 3 years after you leave the company.
Right. There's an hour coming out, in 3 years.
I'm waiting for that. When you leave that company, that special's gonna be mad.
Friends with Benefits, that's the name of the show.
Because I don't even want to know their names. I just want to know what is happening.
I just want to know the story.
I'm writing a show on it. I'm calling it Lazy Hard Worker.
Lazy hard, I like that.
And I'm talking about this because I like to look. I like to find these jobs.
Interesting. It's just like in terms of like intrigue, you're there because a lot of stand up initially is that some people think aren't even interesting, so you don't want to listen to the joke. But this is instantly interesting, engaging. I'm like, you got me. So yeah.
And the thing is, because people always think it's a lie until
I Googled it.
You got receipts. Yeah, bring receipts, then people can't. Sort of contest that. That's wild.
Would your profile on the website, I guess it would have to be kind of like blank, right? And because they obviously don't want to see your face on this.
You only people paid, who've paid.
Yeah, and then it's
you can't just see it. No.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And then
what they do is they will submit what they need.
That's what I was about to say. They search by criteria.
You can rent a cyber friend.
Yeah, so it's all right. So we want.
You can
female.
Be a friend on the internet. You don't have to meet them.
Oh yeah, so I saw that one.
I have to call so and so every Friday at 1 a.m. and you speak to them for 45 minutes, an hour, depending how much they're paying you for.
Worth decent work from home gig.
I'm gonna be such a slut.
What for the money?
When I sign up to this, man.
Well, I've seen cyber friends. You can connect for as low as 10 cents per minute. No, my rate's got to be higher than that.
Of course.
10 cents per minute.
That's the match where you get on stage.
Search anywhere in the world and rent a friend.
It's true.
What? Eva is Lang, fam.
Because it's all about renting this friend, bro.
People come on holiday.
Yeah.
And they just want someone to show them around or to be their friend while they are here on holiday.
That's a gig. If you get someone to fly you out somewhere just to be a friend.
Yeah.
Between certain hours. You can go do your own thing in these hours, but I just need you to be my friend.
During that daytime hour.
Yeah.
And then even go gig and stuff.
Can you sit with me and eat? Mad.
I think that's brilliant because a lot of people, as you mentioned earlier, are lonely and they don't have companionship. And that's why they seek companionship in sometimes nefarious ways, like OnlyFans subscriptions and whatnot. And so this is a way where it's a bit more, I guess, palatable. But it's all about...
Because imagine paying like full prostitute prices and you don't actually want to have sex.
And you know what made it worse? It's internet dating.
Because it's very cutthroat, I hear. Well, all the comedians that do bits on it, it's like, you know... People just ghost you and other stuff.
And also people no longer approach people in real life.
They know how to do it. A lot of people have lost that skill, isn't it?
Yeah. Because their friends keep saying, are you going to fuck her?
Yeah, exactly. And people don't know how to be approached either. Mm. So you can't actually tell the difference between someone who's just interested to get to know you versus an actual
sexual
date. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Then,
So now someone going, hey, how you doing? Like, do I know you? It's like, no, that's what I'm...
Stranger Danger.
To talk to you. Yeah.
There's Instagram profiles teaching girls how to riz.
And those are great gigs for comedians. What are you doing during the day?
Yeah, no, of course. I wasn't even aware that it was a thing.
You get a lot of material from it.
Because a lot of observational comedy is hanging around with people. So if you're being paid to hang around people.
Mm-hmm. And people you wouldn't normally hang around with either.
Absolutely.
So it's more
different perspectives, attitudes, backgrounds. And I'm sure there's some of these people that have fascinating backgrounds that you can write bits on. And oh my goodness, your next hour is going to be banging. How did you, just to clarify, because I know you took a show to the Edinburgh Fringe last year.
Yes.
The Mandela Effect.
Yes.
And then I believe you've done some tour dates.
Yes.
Is that still ongoing, or did that come to a conclusion?
I've finished it,
yep.
But I still have some possible dates.
Oh, brilliant.
On it, but I'm now doing Tangerine Friends.
Okay.
I'm tired of being by myself on stage. I just want to do it with my friends now. So I'm at the moment I have 3 dates. I've got Newcastle on the 27th of July. Manchester, 27th July,
yep.
3 August, Newcastle, and 10 August, I'm in Woking, which is my hometown. So,
nice. Oh, so you're doing bits and bobs. I like that. And how did you find the experience of the solo show? Did you enjoy Edinburgh? Was that your first experience there?
I had been there, but I'd never taken a show. I'd never been there for the whole month.
Yeah.
It's like Disneyland for comedians.
Absolutely.
It's so nice because also we meet each other and then we don't work or gig together for 9 months before we see each other again. Whereas in Edinburgh, you see everyone.
Yeah.
And you get to see shows. You get to gig with many, many comedians. I really enjoyed it. I loved it. But I feel like I did a little bit too much because I did the AAA as well.
Yes. You had
So
you had your solo show that you're doing it an hour once a day. Then you also had the 20-minute set you're doing.
Yes.
Every day once. Oh, wow.
Yes.
So you must have been exhausted.
Yes.
By the end of the month.
Plus, you pick up a lot of spots as well when you're in Edinburgh. But yeah, but it was good. It was good. I missed it for like a month when I came back.
Yeah.
I felt like something was wrong with me because I was so used to the routine of I do this in the morning, I go here, I go there. I really enjoyed it.
If you enjoy your time there, it is a nice bubble to be in. Imagine it's hell if it's away. If you're having a shit time, then you must have.
Oh, it's mama, isn't it?
Yeah, but you're having a fun time and enjoying it, then.
Yeah, if you're doing what you want to do. Like, I remember I was like, all I got to do today is just this hour show. That's the only, like, requirement. Everything else is up to me.
And by about day 10, you're just in autopilot with your show.
Oh, yeah. Just roll out of bed.
Like, you could leave your watch at home. It's like, I know what time it is in the day because I'm at this joke.
Yep.
it's just
the audience is so different from the audience you get when you're doing club gigs.
Mm.
I remember one day, my show was at 2:25 in the afternoon. So the AAA was, I think, 7:30 or 8:30. So totally different audiences for both shows. I would get, there was one day when I had a bus, like a coach full of people from a nursing home.
Oh, wow.
Because Mandela, they love Mandela.
Oh, so they thought.
I don't know whether they thought they were going to see.
He's going to see. So they literally come saying, well, like, where's Nelson?
The nurses or the people from the nursing home?
Hmm?
Was it the nurses or the
residents?
The residents.
Yeah, they'll see him soon.
I think the youngest was like 85.
They'll see him soon.
Kazim's a bad boy.
Just here to cause trouble.
So, and then, how was that performing for them, nursing home residents?
It was nice. It was interesting, but I think a lot of them had
dementia.
Hearing
problems. I said dementia. I guessed the wrong thing.
Why are you stereotyping the elderly?
I guessed the wrong thing. I was gonna.
They remember Nelson Mandela, for goodness sake.
I did meet someone just yesterday. I wish I could call my friend so that you guys know I'm not lying. I was at one of the supermarkets.
Yeah.
Doing my thing shopping. She was with, I think, her carer.
Yeah.
And then her carer kept saying to her, don't. And I could tell that she wanted to say something to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I sort of looked to give her attention and approval.
Yeah.
And then she said, I like you. I said, thank you. And then she said, I can guess your name. I'm very good at guessing. I said, oh, guess my name. And then she said, your name is Sarah. I said, oh, yeah, how did you know? And she was happy. And then she said, when I was younger, I wanted to be a black lady.
It's just like, how do I leave this conversation?
And I didn't ask why.
How do I leave this conversation?
Because look at you. You look 21. I like black ladies. They never look their age. You can't tell that you are 68. You look 21. So I didn't know that it was like, a compliment.
What the fuck are you saying? I look too.
I didn't know whether to take it as a compliment.
Hot now. You don't even know what is going on. Like, is this good or bad? Bad or good? Be straight with me, because you're taking me on a roller coaster right now. Like, just be straight with me.
Do you know how difficult it's going
to be? And as I was just giving a smile, you can't tell that you are 68.
You know how difficult it's going to be to explain, hey, why did you beat up this person with
this old age
social and educational
she
needs?
She says I was old, but I looked young.
Said it to me whilst they were dribbling too. I take that as extreme disrespect.
Hot damn.
That's the difference between like good people as well, because when they were saying, I can guess your name, that it was so far removed in my head for you to go, oh yeah, my name is Sarah. I'd have been like, nope. Better luck next time.
Shut the conversation down.
Yeah, I would have shut it down. Go on and guess it, rookie.
I did have a neighbor also who had dementia. Yeah. When I first came to the UK.
They forgot that they let black people free.
I got a bit offended, but I laughed. She said to me, I know why you are black, but your hands are white.
Oh, God.
Hoo-wee.
I said, why? And then she said, because when God was painting you, you were standing on all fours.
God.
And she really liked me. She was really nice. She really liked me.
What she done? She hated you.
No, she did. She was really nice. She was the nicest person. She once introduced me to her friend as her daughter.
Why are we on all fours?
She said, this is my other daughter. Don't mind her skin color. She just stayed in the toaster for too long.
Hear that?
And you get dementia but not forget how to be racist.
That's what I ask myself.
Wild. But that's what happens. Dementia takes you to a certain stage in your life, a certain era.
The racism. Yeah, it's true. She's learned
to not treat black people badly, but she hasn't. But she's stuck in the time where I can say whatever I want about black people. That's what it is.
Two black people.
Yeah, two black people.
They will forget. I remember I was on Jerry's Wall. They will forget their fucking son that they gave birth to. But remember that you're black. Like, I remember me and this lady, she was from Angola, and we went to see her post an operation. And she's like, oh, no, don't worry. The doctors will see me when I get back to England. We were in fucking Dartford. I'm like, there's the QE bridge right there. And she was like, I didn't even thought. I said, you know what? Safe flight. I'm going. And then left her.
She didn't want to be treated by you.
Yeah, she said, don't worry, the doctors will see me when I get back to England. I said, you know what, safe flight.
She died.
Who knows what happened to her? Who? I didn't check.
What's her name? Let me see. Maybe I attended her funeral.
Hey, I don't think there's anything else we can add to that. We might as well round up there. This has been another episode, a very, very special two-part episode of Late Nights and Wet Wipes. I want to thank first Kazim to my left. You're gonna do your outro.
I see you right.
I'm so used to it. To my right,
hurt, bro. Too much hands, fam. Anyone tell you you look like Lethal B?
I wasn't sure if it was.
Never ever.
Oh, so that's just.
I don't know. I see you guys.
No. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, sorry for
Kazim Jamal.
I'm just here to cause trouble.
To the far right.
It's Darren Griffiths.
To the far right.
Yeah, and to right. our a very, left. Very special and esteemed guest. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for giving up your time to come here, bless us with your presence, your wisdom, your wit, and your insights into being a South African comedy queen. So thank you so much for coming thank here and you. Blessing us.
And job opportunities.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, if you see me at a funeral crying, mind your business.